This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think anybody who has a teenager understands the transformation she's going through. She's trying on personalities like every teen does. You know, I mean, she's a cowboy, and now she's a warrior.
Would the Elsa Dutton from episode 5 of 1883 even recognize the Elsa Dutton who started this journey northwest 3 months ago? The show is about that journey and all the brutal realities that come with it, but it's also about her personal transformation, a transformation that's been uneven and unpredictable. Her journey is nothing if not honest, however, and this week's viewers got a look at the good and the bad of growing up under the spotlight. Think about it. In her community, Elsa is a celebrity forced to live her life out in public. There are some very unexpected parallels between 19th century trail life and 21st century pop culture, and the show finds beautiful ways to point them out without inducing groans or eye rolls. At worst, it's awkward, but it's the same kind of awkward as watching your children go through something similar. At worst, it's the same kind of awkward as thinking back on your own formative years. I'm Addison Hager, and this week on the Dutton Rules podcast, we're going to park ourselves to talk about Elsa and what she represents before exploring two enticing Easter eggs and what it means to eat a buffalo heart. You heard that right, a buffalo heart. Billy Dukes is standing by, but first tap follow and leave a 5-star rating and review if you've not done so. When you finish, search the archives conversations with cast members like Faith Hill, Tim McGraw, Eric Nelson, and more. Are Sam and Elsa destined to live a long life together? Why does Shay's future suddenly look very bleak? Is a Yellowstone favorite going to be killed between seasons? Answers to those questions, plus last week's trivia answer, as we bring Billy Dukes in right now.
Hello, Addison!
Hello, Billy. Okay, this episode I can actually meet you with the same level of excitement because no one died. This is the second episode of the past two that no one died. So I can actually be a little happier and there are no tears being shed.
I did. I found the end of this episode particularly sad. And I did find myself, and I didn't watch this episode with my wife like I have so many, but I did find myself tearing up at the end. And this is a spoiler alert if anybody hasn't watched the episode. But when she's leaving Sam, they might get back together. That's the plan. But it does seem like a lot of things have to go right for them to sort of reunite. And plus, we've already seen a scene where Elsa takes an arrow to the gut. Like, that was a soft, tender moment. It got me.
You know, I think because we've already been through the whole Ennis, her saying goodbye to him, essentially, that one really, really wrecked me. That this one, I'm just kind of like, yeah, maybe she sees him, maybe she doesn't. And not to be super flippant about the situation, but she tends to pick up men as this journey continues. Remember I said that she was like the bachelorette, right? the modern day bachelorette. So part of me, I'm like, you know, she's going to find another great guy if Sam ends up not coming back around. So clearly I have a little bit of a little apathetic towards it.
Yeah, well, we're going to dive deep into Elsa's romances here in just a moment or so. And I loved a conversation between James and Margaret on this topic. But let's pin a pin in that for a second because we have some business to take care of from last week's episode.
Yes, the trivia. Who won the last week one? And then what was the answer?
Last week, the trivia was, in Yellowstone, when Jamie first meets his real father, Garrett Randall, Garrett calls him by a different name. What does he call him? The insinuation was this was Jamie's birth name. They don't say that outright. He calls him Michael. The answer was Michael. And the trivia winner is actually a friend of the show, someone who we talked about last week, Michaela, the meteorologist who gave us all that great climate information. She was the first one to respond and know that it was Michael. My bad on not getting back to people, though, until really just before we hit record. Full disclosure, and this is why the podcast is going to be a day or so late. I was out of pocket the entire Super Bowl weekend. I didn't get into the emails, so I apologize. I didn't get back to her in time for her to give me, like, my punishment. So I got an IOU to Michaela. I'll get her next
Michaela
week.
Michaela will still get, yes. You can still, Billy's brushing up on his impersonation. So if we want to, you know, circle back to that, feel free.
And that's the win. That's what you win. If you're the first person to respond correctly to the trivia question, you get to have me say or do anything you want within reason of decency and time. And we've had some great suggestions so far, even some people who, and we had a ton of responses for this one. Some people wanted me to do and say some things that were really intriguing and interesting, kind of not so much of the silly stuff, you know, sing, we don't talk about Bruno. I haven't gotten that one yet. Then more on topic. So that's what you get. And this is this week's trivia question. And I think it's going to be fairly difficult, but I'm not certain.
Okay, what is it?
Which actor from the Yellowstone franchise was a competitive bodybuilder? In fact, you could even say he had muscles. And I'm putting muscles
he's air
in air
this.
Quotes for a specific reason that if you figure it out, you'll understand why.
Oh, I'm fascinated. I'm racking my brain right now of all the characters.
It could be a 1883 or it could be a Yellowstone character. It's a key character, a professional. I don't know if he was professional, but he was a competitive. And I guess I spoiled that it was a man, not a woman.
LaMonica Garrett, that's my guess.
Okay, that's a good guess.
Well, he enjoys working out with Tim on the before yep. they the before.
Gosh, you know, I hope there's not like four, because that's going to be embarrassing. But first person to get
we
erect,
actually find out.
Correct.
Yeah.
staff@tasteofcountry.com is the email address for the trivia answers, and I'll respond a little bit more quickly this week.
Well, I would love to dive into this episode, starting with Elsa. As always, I feel like we've been recently starting with her because she's had the most happen, just transformation-wise. This is a scene where, you know, angsty, rebellious, I'm 18 years old, I'm going to do what I want, mom and dad, stay back, is full force.
She's headstrong, isn't she?
Very, very much so. I wasn't as headstrong. I was pretty stubborn, but I didn't give my parents a run for their money.
You think your parents would say the same thing, though?
I actually do. And the reason why is because my youngest brother was, you know, I was the oldest, Billy. I'm the only girl. So, of course, you know, the straight lace. Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. I kind of wish I had more of a rebellious phase. I really do. Maybe I'll hit now at 26 years old. I don't know.
I'm going to say it's not too late here, Addison. Let's get after it. I'm seeing a nice green wall behind you. Go grab yourself a can of spray paint and just tag it. You know?
Done.
Screw you, mom and dad.
Yeah. If you guys see that on social media, I have not lost it. Just going through my teenage angst just a little bit later in life.
Just a little. So here's what happened. Sam and Elsa's relationship really starts to blossom. And there's a debate that we'll get to in a moment between if the crew is going to go to Denver or continue on to Oregon. And Elsa says, I ain't doing none of it. I'm staying here in Oklahoma with my man Sam, and we're going to get married, and I'm a warrior now. And there's even kind of a wedding ceremony of sorts. I don't know. They more or less just sleep together and decide they're married.
Yes.
But that's fine.
Because Margaret says, you know, we'll at least have a wedding. And that doesn't ever happen. All of a sudden, they're just calling each other husband and wife. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess that's how this works. All right.
The thing with Elsa's transformation here is I think when it first started, we were able to solely appreciate it through the lens of this series. Like, here's a young girl going through this. And for that reason, it was very believable. And now it's kind of believable in a much more real sense. I think anybody who has a teenager or who has gone through those teen years mm-hmm. understands the transformation she's going through. She's trying on personalities like every teen does. You know, I mean, she's mm-hmm. a cowboy and now she's a warrior. I mean, mm-hmm. there's like a new man and a new outfit for each one of these personalities that she's trying on.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this to be critical of her or the show or even dismissive of the show. I think it's the opposite. I think that Taylor's writing of this character is very real and very honest. And in fact, I kind of wonder how he nailed this because he's a 40, 50 some year old man. How is he writing a teenage girl so damn mm-hmm. well without help from someone who's actually lived through some of those angsty years? I don't think yeah. he has kids. Like so many other elements of the show, it might be too real at times. If you are a parent, you might see your teenage son or your teenage daughter in Elsa. It reminds me when I was like about her age. I was a little older. I was 21 and I graduated college. And all of a sudden, I was just going to pick up and move to Oregon. Literally, that's what I wanted to do. I'm not even saying that because that's what they're trying
wow.
to do. Like Oregon okay. was my frontier. We were just going to go do it. And my girlfriend uh-huh. at the time, her profession was she was a cocktail waitress at a strip club. But that didn't matter. I knew that bigger and brighter things were going
incredible.
To happen for happened for her and for us once we were in Oregon, because that was the
once
promised
we were in Oregon,
land.
Literally 1883, but Billy Duke's edition.
Fortunately, time went by and I realized that I wasn't down with like her lifestyle. I mean, she smoked a ton of pot. I mean, just a tremendous amount of marijuana as well. So I
at the wrong time. This is incredible.
I cleaved that myself from that situation and soon met the woman who would become my wife. And I stayed in Southwest Michigan until as a family, we moved to North Carolina and then to Tennessee. And I look back on that and I thought to myself, that trip to Oregon, that was a really bad idea. I'm glad I didn't do that. Like I would have been lost and maybe dead living in, I mean, who knows what kind of trouble I would have gotten in. Like
things
it's relatable.
Really shifted different.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we've all dreamed of that, but if you've kind of gotten past that, you know, like, there's a reason why that you don't chase those dreams.
Yes.
And it makes me a little sad for Elsa because I feel like she's going to realize that if it continues mm-hmm. on this realistic thread for her.
Yeah. Well, I will say yes. Deep sigh, Billy. Moment of silence, I think is what we need for you over there. But actually what I loved about seeing her in this light, other than, you know, I'm looking going, you know, this is kind of a slow moving car crash as her parents. I'm going, you know, there's so much unknown out there and they're trying to protect you over here. And you're just going, you know, nothing can, you're untouchable, essentially. And I do think a lot of teen, I mean, I kind of went through that too as a teen of, you know, thinking that nothing can hurt you or, you know, you're invincible and realizing, you know, as a parent, they're looking on going, that's not the world that you live in. But what I do like about this relationship, a little bit different than Ennis and Elsa's relationship. Obviously, Ennis and Elsa's was very innocent.
Yes.
Well, yes, spontaneous and innocent, which I really loved. But I love that we're not seeing just a carbon copy of that. And that now we're shifting into Elsa's obviously lived a little bit more life since Ennis. And a lot has happened. She's kind of maturing into this woman that she's becoming. And so it's much more of a mature relationship, if you will. And I like seeing that a little bit more. I like that we're not getting a similar just kind of, you know, young kind of girl. I like that we're seeing
right.
a little bit more of a refined, and that's kind of what this really, like, this was her, you know, and this was her first boyfriend, first love, and everything that comes with that. And now she stepped into it, and now she kind of knows what she wants a little bit more. I do like seeing that aspect in this episode.
I thought the most important moment of this episode was the conversation between Margaret and James sitting around the campfire where they joke about she'll probably just fall in love with someone else in Oregon and
she falls
in love with every guy she meets.
Uh-huh.
Like, I thought that was a really important sort of pullback moment for the show to be like, okay, as a viewer, I'm not the only one who's so skeptical of this relationship. Her own parents right. are living through it and they also are like, all right, come on, what is she going to fall in love with? Every guy who smiles at her like that. It made me feel less guilty about being so skeptical of Elsa's love for Sam.
Well, man, I love when Margaret, when Sam comes to essentially ask James for his blessing, and he comes and gives a horse. That's kind of, you know, their equivalent of asking the father for the daughter's hand in marriage. And, you know, first, you see this conflict with James of realizing, like, man, my daughter's going to choose to do what she's going to do. Like, I literally cannot force her. She is strong-willed, and she's going to do what she wants to do. And Margaret is becoming unhinged because she is also realizing, you know, how do we, you know, commandeer this situation? And man, I laughed so hard when, you know, she's trying to tell James do something and he's looking at her like, what do I do? And, you know, her first initial instinct is like, I don't know, shoot him? I'm like, okay, yes, we really escalated this. Maybe we don't have to shoot him. You know, okay, if we don't like him, just, oh, another one bites the dust. Man, I thought that was so good. I got a good laugh out of that. I was like, okay, Margaret, we are really, wow, we went there.
But how did you feel about that conversation between Margaret and Elsa, where Margaret's trying to kind of tell her about the way things will be, about how she's inevitably going to be living this life where she has to wear a dress and swallow her dreams? How did that conversation hit you?
I didn't love it. And for me, you know, I mean, and my parents are like this, of just really spurring me on of, you know, chase your dreams and, you know, be a go-getter and, you know, very, very advocates of that. And, you know, her being the strong-willed personality that she is, I think as I'm watching Margaret, you know, as Elsa's blooming and she's almost trying to dim her light, essentially. And, you know, Elsa is not that type of personality that's going to just go along with society in that way of like, okay, you know, I'll be, you know, the housewife, I'll be, you know, everything that Margaret is. And I think what's interesting is Margaret's not saying it as if she likes it even, you know, and she's kind of saying it that this is your duty, where I saw that scene as, man, Margaret, Elsa is a mini Margaret. And, you know, Margaret maybe also had these same dreams and ambitions, and, you know, that's not the way the world works. And so, yeah, I didn't love it, only because in addition to just being like, man, being more of an advocate for her daughter's personality and dreams and all that, I think with her daughter's personality, trying to dim that is only going to ignite the rebellious aspect of Elsa, which it does. How did you feel?
No, I totally agreed with you. It was hard not to watch that scene and contrast it to like the modern day conversations that fathers and mothers have with daughters, which is unfair to the show. And I'm guilty of doing this from time to time, but I think everybody maybe thought the same thing, is just kind of how it was difficult to hear that. Whereas if we were in that time period, somehow watching a TV show about the 19th century, in the 19th century, like, it would be like, yeah, that's right. It would be much more pragmatic, practical response to what happened.
Right.
It was, I thought that was a nice, really, really sharp parent-daughter exchanges there. And I thought that was really good writing and acting. And, and no doubt that Tim McGraw and Faith Hill were drawing upon things that they've witnessed with their own daughters, who are not that much older than Elsa.
Absolutely.
So that was probably very real. I would love to talk to them about that at some point. That'd be really interesting.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Well, the scene that I didn't personally find as needed, which I would love to hear your two cents on this, Billy, was when in this episode, Elsa becomes a warrior, essentially, and even a hunter. She learns how to, you know where I'm going with this.
I know where you're going. I'm excited.
Yeah. You're really amped about this one.
Making me hungry.
Now my lunch is spoiled. But anyways, she learns how to hunt, which I will say at first when this scene, they approach Sam and Elsa, come across buffalo, which at first they don't show the buffalo and they just show Sam, dropping to his knees and telling Elsa to drop as well. And I thought, oh my gosh, here we go again. There's dang bandits on the way and someone's going to die. I'm thinking, I'll brace for impact again. Okay. But thankfully that didn't happen and it was buffalo. And Elsa ends up shooting a buffalo, her first kill. And Billy, take it away with this scene of what happens.
Sam jumps off his horse, whips out his knife, guts the buffalo, and fairly quickly pulls out its heart. Like, he got that heart out lickety-split. And he raises it up to the sky, and then he offers it to Elsa and says, eat it. It's upon you now to eat this buffalo heart. And she barely hesitates. She goes at it, like she's at the Ponderosa or something, and it's the plate of mashed potatoes. Like, she just, and not only that, like, there's blood all over her face. She never wipes off the blood. She kind of starts riding around with this bloody face, and she's wild-eyed and smiling, telling everybody that she sees, I just killed a buffalo.
She is a proud puppy is what I would best describe that as. Happy-go-lucky of, look, Mom and Dad, look what I just did. I mean, literally trotting on the horse with just a mouth covered in blood. Also, great imagery of describing that. That was very detailed, Billy.
Well, the natives are also very excited and very proud of her. And I don't know if you did any in-depth research on the ritual of eating a heart of a buffalo.
That scene, I didn't think, man, I'm going to pin this. As soon as I finish, I'm going to go Google and deep dive down the road. Out of everything that I've decided to Google about the show, this was not a moment. Billy, I can only imagine that absolutely this was your moment.
Well, I did a little. I won't say that I'm an expert on the situation here, but the buffalo are really important animals to Native Americans. And they would at times follow the herds pretty much year-round. Maybe not so much in the winter, but it was a really important animal and a lot of respect for that animal. As an aside, I really think the buffalo is a really beautiful animal. Like, I love art of pictures of buffalo, but that's a little aside. But in the ceremony of eating the heart, Indians, they believe that they could receive all the qualities of the animal they killed, like the bravery and the strength and the agility by eating or taking a bite of the heart. So that was the purpose of that. And that was... I really struggled actually to find a really, really tremendous source on this. So that was from something called Game and Fishing Magazine per the Outdoor Channel. So, if I'm not 100% correct there, I apologize, but that was about the best I could do. Something that was more interesting, I think, than the meaning of the heart eating is the Easter egg that was dropped in that scene. And I wonder if anybody else caught that.
What Easter egg?
That scene with the Native American ripping open the buffalo and pulling out the heart and offering it to Elsa Dutton was almost identical to a scene from the Kevin Costner movie Dancing with the Wolves. I mean, almost framed exactly the same way. There's a Native American ripping open a buffalo. I think in Dancing with the Wolves, they pull out his liver and they hold it up and they offer it to Kevin Costner, who would, of course, go on to play John Dutton in Yellowstone, and his character takes a bite, and I forget the broader context of that scene in Dancing with the Wolves, but it is almost a facsimile of what happened in Dancing with the Wolves.
Interesting. You know, as crafty and creative as Taylor Sheridan is, I wouldn't put that past him of that maybe being a little intentional, that only people like you would recognize that, if they've seen the movie. I have never seen the movie before, so I wouldn't have picked up on that. But if you've seen it, then you would know. I don't know. I wouldn't, like I said, he's pretty creative in that aspect, so I really wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah. Well, he's done that in so many other more subtle ways, too, like the character of Charlie Goodnight. A lot of people have pointed out that that's a big character in the Western Lonesome Dove, in the books, in the series. This, using similar actors, one of the actors from season 3 of Yellowstone. I forget his name, the character's name, but Wade Marlowe. Wade Marlowe is the guy. He's the former Yellowstone rancher who they hang from a tree because he was kind of screwing with the Duttons. He's the one they attacks Teeter. That character is the one who attacks him. They hang him from a tree. Well, that actor was in Lonesome Dove. Barry Corbett, I believe, is what his name is. So he ties a lot of the... He intentionally uses all these same actors. So I very much believe he knew what he was doing when he recreated that scene. I don't know. I thought that was super interesting. That was like the wildest... eyed Elsa Dutton I think we've seen to date. And then she rides off in that beautiful ornate outfit and she has tears and she's very proud of her tears. And
yeah,
it was beautiful. You had to be willing to suspend belief or at least suspend some skepticism to fully appreciate it.
I really loved, and as she's trotting alongside the immigrants in the wagons, and pretty much she says, you know, everyone's looking at her like she's crazy, and pretty much, you know, she says that she doesn't care and just holds her head high. And I really liked that scene. And I was worried that they were going to leave her there. I thought for a minute, this is going to be we're losing Elsa a lot sooner than I thought we were going to. And she's not going to go with them. So I am glad that she is going with them. She's allegedly going to come back in June, I think is when she said. Like you said, may or may not happen. If we've learned anything, is don't put your hope in too much with this show, because it will be ripped from you. So who knows if she will, but yes, I agree with you that ending scene specifically was really, really well done. And I'm enjoying seeing where this Elsa character, even as defiant as she is, and there's a little bit of that moment where I want to shake her and go, if you could only look ahead. But yeah, I really, really liked that ending scene specifically.
There was another Easter egg in this episode that I don't know if you caught it or not.
I don't think so. What was the other one?
Well, I'm going to admit I didn't either, and I'll give credit here in a second. But okay. Sam has a speech to Elsa, I believe, and I'm paraphrasing here, where he says the white man is like the wolf. It takes everything until there's only wolves left, and then eventually the wolves kill each other, and there's nothing left, and the land is free again. In Yellowstone, what is Casey's spirit animal?
The wolf.
The wolf. I want to give credit here. One of the fan groups I follow, the 1883 of Yellowstone Forum, a woman named Holly pointed this out and connected the wolves from the two series. And this goes to his vision quest. And when he's asked what he saw, and he says, I saw the end of us, this lends some credence to the theory that what he saw was the end of the Duttons, the wolves killing each other until the land is free again. Maybe that's the vision he had.
Yeah, well, and that is something that we've kind of teetered on, of that could be really a plausible case. That the Dutton Ram, they kind of dissolve. So, dang.
And that would fit, too, I think, with themes that Taylor Sheridan has used again and again. Like, he's shown tremendous respect for natives throughout all of these series and really presents them in a much more well-rounded fashion than other Westerns have. Mm-hmm. No doubt about that. But he's also shown a lot of, for lack of a better word, skepticism for sort of... how we use the land or the American or like human's relationship to the land, and this idea that we're the land is going to fight back somehow and we're all going to be expunged in some great way. Like, that's been a kind of a theme across a lot of these series. So that would pretty easily tie the two series together. Thematically, at least.
Something that I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, but and we've kind of talked about this before. If we don't know how much longer Shay's going to be around, you know, we don't know if, you know, his character's kind of coming to a close or, you know, if he's going to make it all the way there. But what I really saw that was kind of pivotal in this episode was, you know, up until now, James has been very, you know, headstrong of I'm here to lead, like I'm here to help you, but my priority is my family and the immigrants, you know, good luck to them. not as concerned. He is a leader, but within his own household, where Shay's taken that right. much more of the leadership role as a whole. And this is an episode that you see that starting to shift a little bit, where James is saying, you know, I don't think we should go to Denver, you know, and I will take the immigrants with me, you know, where he's saying, you know, I'm kind of looking past just his family. And so that kind of makes me wonder if we're kind of starting to set up this, you know, power transition of it moving more to a leadership commanding role of James, because Shay's going to end up dying. That's kind of where my head's headed with this.
I totally agree. I think that's what's going to happen. And it almost seems like Shay formally hands over power, knowing that the immigrants no mm-hmm. longer trust him. And they really seem to be blossoming when they're given a little bit more trust and having a little bit more faith. Like, they're having troubles on the horses, but it hasn't been catastrophic yet.
Yeah. They're doing okay.
Even from the beginning of the episode, when the immigrants are kind of picking up the pieces from that tornado, they seem to be diving right in and doing the work. They're not lost and feeling helpless. And they don't want to go to Denver, because they realize in Denver they'll be maids and miners just like they were in Germany. They want the free land so they can be landowners. And that's the biggest reason why they are willing to follow James, it seems. But Thomas plays a large role in that too, because he says, I ain't going to Denver either. I promised I'd take this woman, Noemi, to Oregon with her kids. Shay, it's kind of like a siege on power, really. Handled peacefully, thankfully. But yeah, and then that goes on to that scene where Shay tells Charlie, this is my last trail. Like, more evidence to believe that this is it. Shay's time is coming to a close. And if I had to make one prediction, it would be that somehow Shay doesn't make it through the end of episode 10.
So we have two more episodes, to figure that out.
I can't
believe
we just have two more episodes. There's so much action that has to play out. How is this going to happen in just 2 hours of TV?
and honestly, if we've, I mean, and Yellowstone's kind of like that. I don't think it may not. They may just leave us hanging. Expect nothing.
So I have one other point, and it's a little nugget that I pulled out, I extracted, and then we have to make a quick correction about something we were wrong about in last week's episode. We found out in this episode, if you did the math, Margaret is about 35 years old. She talks about being pregnant with Elsa at age 17. Elsa's now 18 years old, so she's about 35. Important from the standpoint of, we've kind of argued back and forth about if Margaret and James could still have kids. I thought they were quite a bit older than 35.
I did too.
But can still have kids, no doubt about it. What do they call that in modern day parlance? A woman over 35 having kids, they call it it's a really awful name for it. It's like a senior pregnancy or a
geriatric pregnancy.
That's what it is, a geriatric pregnancy. What is it, 35 or 36?
Yeah, it says over the age, healthline.com says over the age of 35. Literally, Margaret Dutton.
So some risk, but possible.
So you're saying Spencer could possibly be their child, is what I'm hearing you say.
Possibly, yeah. There's, I mean, they certainly didn't have birth control, so that's conceivable.
There you have it.
But we know it's not Ennis's, and
correct,
could be Sam's, but I don't know about that scene.
I don't think so, but...
But our correction has to do with Ennis.
Yes. And I had said last episode, or last podcast, that right before the tornado hit, Sam pretty much says, you know, release the horses and then run for cover. And I had said that she had kissed, because we had talked about, you know, maybe Elsa in that scene where she's kissing Sam was kind of her, in a way, kissing Ennis. And I had said, I was like, well, she kissed the horse goodbye, and I thought it was Ennis's horse. And so that, in my mind, was like, no, she's, you know, paying tribute to him in that way, which I ended up being wrong. It was not Ennis's horse. Marianne pointed out that she said she's been riding her horse Lightning all along. Ennis's horse is a bay. Elsa's horse is a Palomino.
A number of people wrote in with regards to that not being Ennis's horse. So I kind of just trusted the aggregate there. And
Yeah. I was just curious what they looked like, the difference.
I didn't have a photo memory of what Ennis's horses was, I guess, but I was as much wrong as you. But yeah, no, I really appreciate it. staff@tasteofcountry.com is if you want to correct us on something. Lord knows we appreciate it, and we haven't gotten our biggest wrong. What has been when we called Ennis Wade for a couple of episodes, and someone fairly recently in the Apple Podcasts review section, like, they gave us only a 4-star review because of that fact. It's like, okay, I mean, I appreciate the review and the rating, but you know, it was early. Hey, we're learning too.
You know, I get it. Yeah. We're learning. We're just human. But it would be like calling you Wade, and you're like, well, I'm Billy over here, but okay. You know?
Yeah. One last point I want to make here, and this is unrelated to this last episode, but something we recently learned about Yellowstone and actor Forey J. Smith, who plays Lloyd. He's a favorite in the bunkhouse. This is just something to keep an eye on. Of course, Yellowstone was nominated for a number of Screen Actors Guilds awards, and the show was looking forward to attending the SAG Awards and maybe collecting that. But Forey J. Smith created a video on Instagram where he shared that he wasn't going to be able to because the SAG Awards, you have to be vaccinated and boosted and have negative tests. And I'm not saying this as a pejorative because I think it's accurate. Forey J. Smith is anti-vax. He explains that he is against vaccines. He doesn't do flu shots. He doesn't vaccinate his horses or his dogs. He hasn't gotten vaccines since he was a little kid. He's not going to get the COVID-19 vaccine or boosted. And I'm not saying that to be judgy or political or critical of him. It's his opinions. But that's why he's not going to be at the SAG Awards, and he wanted to apologize. What I think is interesting about that is different shows have had different rules about if their actors and the cast and crew need to be vaccinated. I don't know Yellowstone's policy there, but it's not tough to imagine a situation where season 5 of Yellowstone doesn't include Lloyd, and if it doesn't, I think it'd be for this reason.
Yeah, no, that's very plausible, and even how we had said, I mean, we've been saying we don't know if his character's going to make it through another season, and that might be, I mean, that might end up being the reason.
Now, of course, Yellowstone films in Montana and not California.
Right.
Again, I don't know the COVID rules and regulations for Montana. I'm guessing they're a little bit more, a little looser than California. California is certainly much more of a liberal state, maybe than Montana. So maybe that won't be an issue. But it's something to keep an eye on about not only Forey J. Smith, but anybody else from the cast who won't get the vaccine. Maybe that could affect how they're used.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Alrighty, on that note, are we ready for some good old Q&A?
Let's do it. I'm ready. Who we got this week?
Okay, the first one I have is Michael writes, my theory on why Elsa kissed Sam during the tornado. Elsa realizes that every moment on this earth could be her last, so with that said, she's not going to let go of any opportunity to experience something new. What does she have to lose?
I think he's right, and I love this theory. Thank you, Michael, very much. Like she's like, you know what? I might die, and I want to kiss this man, so I am going to kiss this man. Someone else named Sarah wrote in and said that she YOLO'd it. You only live once.
Yes, full sentence.
As a verb, which is fantastic. I'm in on that.
She YOLO'd it. Yeah, no, I'm also here on this theory, yeah. And I mean, I think we're only going to continue to see that with her. Yeah, you only live once. Elsa, you know, realizes I've escaped a tornado. I've, you know, bandits. What else do I have to lose? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Get it, girl.
Get it, girl? Okay, Hayden writes on that note. Hayden writes, I think Cookie is a bad guy. I think he was part of the bandits that stole the cattle after the tornado. He left before the storm, comes back after the storm, and tells Shay there's only 6 guys holding the cattle. Ooh.
Because there was really 13.
Yeah, there was quite a lot more.
You know, I hadn't considered this theory.
Yeah.
But it holds up at least to what actually happened. I don't know what Cookie's motives would be totally.
Right.
But he does seem a little shady, doesn't he? Doesn't the cook seem a little shifty?
He does. Yeah, he doesn't seem. There's still some questions there.
Yeah.
Like he has a story and we just don't know it yet. He's an onion, right, if you will. We've got some layers to peel back.
I'm going
to
pin this theory, I think.
Yeah.
We'll just kind of, and if it happens, we're going to give Hayden credit because that's brilliant.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest. It's one of those I just need to marinate on it a little bit more if I think it's a reality, but I mean, yeah. Okay, Les from YouTube says, my family is German ancestry from southeastern Oklahoma. Just saying.
This is going to our what we've talked about how the Germans will just end up staying in Oklahoma because of the destruction of the tornado. We theorized that maybe if there was large communities in Oklahoma, this is what actually happened. And it probably did to a certain degree. I mean, if this trip was representative of sort of a larger migration of the Germans from Texas to Oregon or parts northwest, there were probably some people who didn't make it and just ended up planting themselves in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I got another great email, or actually I think it was a YouTube comment from someone named Glenn, who had a lot more detail about Germans that settled in Oklahoma, and he actually points out specific counties in Oklahoma where the Germans settled. He had some historical dates that indicated that settlement actually happened after this trip, maybe in the later 1890s or close to the 20th century. But it seems like if there is some big German settlements in Oklahoma, this could absolutely be the reason why. So that was pretty astute. I appreciate Les and Glenn and everybody else who pointed that out. People really connecting to this journey. This is one thing that people have pointed out. I've gotten emails and I've seen a lot of comments about their relatives who took this journey or took a similar journey north to Montana or to Denver, to Colorado or some other states and cities, kind of connecting to it kind of on a it's their story in some much more resonant ways than people from overseas and in Europe who ended up in the East Coast, who ended up in the Midwest or parts like that. Which I think is pretty interesting.
Rob emailed us and says, hello, I love your podcast. Addison's laugh is infectious. Well, first, thank you, Rob. I'm honored that you love my laugh. Sometimes I don't know if I'm laughing a little too hot and heavy into the mic, so I'm really glad I have a very distinct laugh, so thank you. I'm very honored by that. He continues saying, here's my thought. Elsa and Beth are both derivative of Elizabeth. Is it possible Beth is named after Elsa? Just a thought. I mean, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, I think a lot of times, you know, family names are passed down. And I can't
read
your face.
For this to work, Elsa would have to never get married or actually formally change her name, right?
Why?
Because if she did, she would no longer be a Dutton. See what I'm saying?
No, I don't, because it's the first name. Wait, say that. Okay, explain again.
Because she'd start on her own family tree at that point, and her name wouldn't be Dutton. It would be Smith or Jones or Carpenter or whatever, the person. And then you get 2 or 3 generations down before you get to Beth, and that would be family tree-wise, that would be many branches over from the line of Duttons.
Like, they wouldn't pull the name Elizabeth from that far down the across the tree.
Well, I guess what I'm thinking, what he's saying is that somehow Beth is a direct ancestor of Elsa's.
Okay. I took it more of as they were naming where his last thing question where he said, is it possible Beth is named after Elsa? I assumed it derived from the name Elizabeth, and they just like a family name, essentially, you know, where people pull from.
Yeah.
That would be pretty far, you know, you're down. It's not like your grandparent or something pretty direct, but that's more so where I was headed with that of it's a family name and therefore they named her a family name, Beth. Elizabeth.
Now, given what we know, about Elsa, it's not impossible to imagine her having a baby and somehow not taking the last name of the father of the baby. Like, she's already shown that she is extremely independent for that time. Mm-hmm. So she could somehow remain a Dutton, have a son who carries on that Dutton name, and then maybe the family lineage runs through Elsa and not through John Jr. and Spencer, like we kind of think it does.
Yeah,
I guess time will tell. Possible, but
good thought.
You do have a nice laugh.
Thank you. So,
yeah, really.
I'm honored. Hey, thank you, Rob. Truly, thank you.
I want to give one more shout out to a listener named Ryan who emailed, and he gave me a great lead for a future interview potentially. But he also shared that he's dating a girl with the last name of Dutton, and her father's name is John.
No. Are you serious? This is a lie. Who are you?
No, it's true. He's a little bit nervous that he's going to be taken to the train station.
Which doesn't exist. And he hasn't quite decided. Found on TikTok, yeah. So, you know, be careful what you wish for.
I asked him, is he the Rip Wheeler of the family now, or is he the Monica of the family? And he's not sure. He's got to work that out on his own. But
to be determined. Yeah,
he gave me a great lineup for a potential interview of someone I might want to talk to. Oh, but so thank amazing. You to Ryan and everybody who emailed. staff@tasteofcountry.com is and just getting so many emails now, it's really been tremendous. So I apologize if it takes me a few days. I'm at a point where I've gotten to all of them, but I haven't had a chance to get all of them immediately.
That's Billy Dukes, who's now off to try to explain that cocktail waitress and the ill-fated trip to Oregon to his wife and mother. Thanks, Billy. Once again, the email address for questions, comments, corrections, and this week's trivia question is staff@tasteofcountry.com. I'm Addison Hager. Thanks for listening to Dutton Rules, a Yellowstone 1883 podcast. Conversations with cast members like Cole Hauser, Sam Elliott, Luke Grimes, and more are available in the archives. Please tap follow before you split and leave a review and 5-star rating, and then tell one person you know about the podcast. This week's episode was written by myself and Billy Dukes and produced by Billy Dukes, with additional research from Taste of Country's Sterling Whitaker. As always, Dutton Rules, a Yellowstone 1883 podcast, is another great Town Square Media podcast.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.